Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Just Break Up, the podcast about love, heartbreak, and all relationship advice you don't want to hear. My name is Sierra DeMolder.
And I'm Sam Blackwell. And today we're going to read a letter from somebody who has to see her creepy coworker at work every day, which is so many of us. But before we begin, we just want to give you our Surgeon General's warning, which is that Sierra and I are not licensed mental health practitioners or HR attorneys.
Just Break Up's HR department is what? What would it be?
Your toddler.
Yeah, my toddler. She's got a clipboard and she's like,
ooh. Oh, absolutely. Oh my God, that would be so cute. Yeah. She'd just be like, stop
doing
that.
Yeah, she's really into the stage. It's very cute. You know what would be funny is if my toddler was an HR department worker for Halloween and everybody would be like,
I'm into it.
What? Okay. Anyway, this is all to say we are not professionals. We are not trained in any of this. So please take our advice as you see fit. We're only here to offer our humble musings to hopefully shed some understanding and maybe some laughs about the incredibly rewarding, but mostly confusing experience that is love and or being a barista.
Yeah. Ooh, we have a lot of experience in that, though.
We can speak to that.
Okay. This letter comes from Old and Wise or Old and Judgy, which deeply relate, whose pronouns are she, her, who's writing from a Starbucks, unfortunately. I'll get right into it. I'm 30 years old, a single mother, and I have lived quite the life. I've made horrible decisions, dated horrible people, and have a laundry list of incredibly hard lessons that I learned in the hardest ways. I work at a coffee shop with lots of teenagers, and though I deeply despise my employer, the benefits are paying for my college, so I unfortunately am stuck with this job for the next 2 years. Speaking of teenagers, I have one particular coworker who is 18 in her freshman year of college, meaning she just graduated from high school in 2023, and I love her so deeply. Let's call her Katie. She reminds me so much of myself at that age. There are so many parallels between our lives. She has some deeply relatable daddy issues, and it's obvious she is starving for love from men because of her father's lack of care or attention. Boy, do we make a lot of similar choices. She also became engaged last year, had a ring and everything. I, too, was engaged at 18. He broke it off, as did Katie's boyfriend. We both experienced deeply disturbing mental breakdowns after our teenage engagements. You can see the parallels, right? Well, after having a pretty public mental breakdown at my job at a pretzel maker at 18, I ended up entangled with a much older man who was my coworker. It started a string of older men, all of who took advantage of my vulnerability, my age, and my lack of financial security. Back to Katie. She just had her very public mental breakdown after ending her engagement. And what do you know? Our creepy older male coworker is now swooping in to take advantage of her vulnerability. They are now sleeping together. He is 31 and she is 18. I now have to work with him, and looking at his face makes me sick. I remember being a broken teenager, being taken advantage of and mistreated by older men who used me for their sexual gratification. I know it's not illegal, she's legally an adult, but he is nearly twice her age. She just graduated high school last year. It's been 13 years since he graduated. And guys, when I tell you that this guy is so creepy, I can't begin to explain all the different scenarios where he has said inappropriate, misogynistic, and borderline pedophilic things about incredibly young customers that come into our coffee shop. Multiple coworkers have reported him to HR already for saying inappropriate things. That being said, I don't want to take the situation to HR. Unfortunately, Katie is in a higher position than he is. She would be the one who would be in trouble for having a sexual relationship with someone who she manages. Yes, the 31-year-old man has a manager who is 18 years old, who he is now sleeping with. So for my question, I am hoping to get some advice or musings on how to handle my triggers in this situation. I'm having such a difficult time at work seeing this awful creepy face and remembering all the awful things that happened to me as a teenager and a young woman in my early 20s. He is just a blatant reminder of how deeply disturbing some people can be. He's only a year older than me, and I can't imagine looking at a teenager and thinking to myself, I want to have sex with that teenager. Maybe it's because I'm a mom. Maybe it's because I'm a woman, though I don't think gender should matter in that regard. When I see teenagers, I think to myself, oh, that's a child. On the other hand, he saw her at work crying and convulsing. She even ended up in the hospital a couple of times over the course of the last month. Her breakup was very rough on her. And on top of that, her father broke up with his girlfriend of 15 years just 2 weeks ago. Her life is in so much upheaval and turmoil, and he knows all this. It just seems so obviously calculated. He sees a young teenage girl in a vulnerable state, mentally unstable, and experiencing so much change. And he sees that as an in and takes it. I'm having such a difficult time with this. Work has been emotionally so draining, and I have such a difficult time working with this man. I honestly don't blame Katie at all. She's a teenager, and her brain isn't fully developed yet. But he is a fully grown man. He should know better. How do I deal with this? Do you have any ideas on how to keep myself calm, to try and push past my own experiences and memories out of my mind, and to get through this current environment at work? I know this won't last long. She is unfortunately very mentally unstable, and he is creepy and weird, so I don't feel like this fling or relationship will last very long. But until it ends, how do I deal? Thank you so much for taking the time to read this letter. I'm sure I could use a wake-up call. I'm not centering myself in her problems. Thank you so much for all that you do and this amazing community that you have built. With love, old and wise, or old and judgy.
Oh, my darling. Thank you so much for writing and for trusting us with this letter. You are neither or old nor judgy. You're probably very wise. We really appreciate this letter. It is excruciating to watch someone make what feels like the same mistakes or choices, I should call them, that you made in your life with the knowledge that you have now, you know, looking back on your life. I know in my life, I have been lucky enough to be a mentor to some folks, and many of whom that I became really close with. And it's really hard not to see, you know, really identical parallels, or, you know, sort of anticipate how their life choices are going to play out based on your own experience. So that makes a lot of sense to me, whether or not it is the right sort of line of thinking for folks like you and I, we'll get into. But mostly we just want to be like, yeah, this is creepy.
It's just weird. I don't like it one bit.
Mostly we just want to affirm the ick factor and the creepy feelings and the weird position that you're in as an employee, but somebody who has maybe has different perspectives than your coworker does. So we're going to get into all of that, but first we have to take a very quick break.
Did you know that nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about? I will tell you that I 100% am in that 75% of people. Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had maybe, 15 subscriptions, but I couldn't believe it when actually I had way more than that. And it was things that I both had forgotten about and not forgotten about, but like seeing it all in one place was a real sort of amazing moments of clarity for me. From streaming services and fitness apps and delivery services, like everyone's trying to sell you a subscription now. And Rocket Money is great because it helps make sure that you're no longer wasting money on the ones that you forgot about.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I can see all of my subscriptions in one place. And if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with just a few taps. I love how the dashboard helps me see this month's spending compared to last month, so I can clearly see my spending habits. It is humbling and incredibly helpful. Uh-huh. And they'll also help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track.
Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with customer service for you. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/justbreakup.
That's rocketmoney.com/justbreakup. rocketmoney.com/justbreakup.
All right, everyone, welcome back. I think, you know, Sierra talked about this before the break, but I just want to like reiterate that like this is creepy. Sierra and I like both agree that this is like creepy. Yes, like a 31-year-old person sleeping with an 18-year-old, making gross comments about customers, like everything that you've described is just like, ugh. It's weird. And I would feel similar to you of being like, what can I do to like protect this poor person from this like really creepy man who is clearly taking advantage of her, you know, whether nefarious or not, is like engaged in a really inappropriate relationship. And like, ugh, ah. Like, it's just, and we also know that like a lot of the stuff that happens around us and a lot of the stuff that happens at work is like outside of our control, right? Like, I wish I could give you the perfect plot to like get this man to stop dating this woman, and I can't, right? Like, I don't have that available to me because the choices that both of them are making are in so many ways outside of our control. And so I think the question for you, as you think about like, how do you want to move forward with this, you know, and I'm going to talk about like, how do you manage your relationship with your coworker first? And then I think we're also going to talk a little bit about like, how do you manage the triggers that are coming up for you, seeing this unfold and tying it really understandably to your own experience. But from where I want to start off here is what we tell lots of people who write into us and say, my friend, my sister, my coworker is in a relationship with somebody who I think is really awful and creepy, and I don't know what to do about it, which is to ask yourself what you can do to build and affirm the relationship that you have with this person that you care about so that they have the support that they need if and when this thing blows up, which, as you say, you think it's going to happen, right? Like, you're right. I don't envision this going super far. I'm sure it's going to get really messy before it gets better. Like, I have seen scenarios like this play out. Like, it just gets weird and gross. And so my question for you is, what are your conversations with your friend Katie look like to understand what's going on for her, understand her experience of this relationship, right? Like, I know that you're kind of taking your own experience in and applying it to what she's going through. And I also want you to be able to practice some curiosity with her about like, what's going on? What is she feeling? And to use your own experience of having been through similar things to be able to empathize and offer some advice or some experience around what you've gone through, right? Like, not in a judgy way of like, don't do this because I did it and it turned out really poorly, but to talk about the fact that you've been through stuff like this. Like, yeah, I've dated people who were much older than me too. And like, here's some things that happened in that relationship. Can I check in with you to see if like that's happening for you, right? Or yeah, you know, he said some really weird things to some of the people that have come into the coffee shop or about them. Like, does he ever say that kind of stuff to you? Right? Like, some of these questions where we can start to dig into what's actually happening, as opposed to sort of sitting on the sidelines and saying, I know the exact right way to handle the situation if only you would just listen to me, right? Like, if only I could control the situation enough to be able to say, y'all should be separate from each other. Because that's really all we have available to us. If we want to support the person who's making decisions that we don't necessarily agree with, the only thing that we can do is to be there, be curious, let them know how we're feeling about what's going on, but also to say, I have you, right? Like, I've got your back. Like, I'm here for you if you need to talk about this stuff, or if you need to make a different decision, or if he's getting weird and you need somebody to help you, right? Like, that kind of stuff is stuff that we can say to people who are in these types of situations.
Have you ever dated anyone who's a lot older? I'm just sitting here thinking. I don't think you have, right?
Mm-mm.
Very good. I'm thinking about.
That's not true. Actually, I did date someone who was like 8 years older than me.
When?
8 or 9 years older. Recently.
Recently? Oh, yeah. Okay.
I mean, like recently, Peter and I've been together for 10 years, friends. So like recently, it's like 11 years ago.
I'm thinking about this. I don't even know if I've ever talked to you about this, but for the first winter that I lived in Minnesota, why am I telling you this? What? This is like embarrassing. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good for me. Anyway, I was like sleeping with this coworker who was like much older and I think in a relationship, and it was just creepy. Just like the letter writer said, it's creepy. Yeah. When I look back on it, I was like, what the fuck are you doing with this like young person? Not
yeah,
that I
no,
wasn't totally culpable, but like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? And to that point, I want to say to the letter writer, you're like, you know, this fully grown man. Let me just remind you that like age is just a number. Number one.
Okay, but like and consent is important.
No. But I'm saying like age is a number in that like emotional maturity is different than your chronological age, right?
Yep.
And not only can people be like immature, we also like historically infantilize heterosexual men in our culture in terms of allowing their sexual desires to be fucking creepy as fuck. How about that?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Can't say that any other way. And this is, you know, just, again, I don't think we have to say this, but like we're speaking specifically to the experience of a 30 something year old dating a teenager, you know, there are different times in our lives in which large age gaps feel a little different, feel a little less icky, or don't feel icky at all. This one feels icky, though. It feels all sorts of red flags because they're coworkers. One person's in a position of, you know, career power, but the other one is in a position of societal power in terms of being older. You know, there's just like a lot of shit going on here. And truthfully, I feel a little torn about the advice. Like I absolutely agree with Sam. I think that you should see how you can foster this relationship with this person, but I'm conflicted, or I'm not quite sure what the right step is, because I truthfully don't have a ton of experience in like corporate world or HR world. And I'm wondering like, what is appropriate? Like number one, a higher up sleeping with like a subordinate employee is not appropriate, right?
Yeah.
Like you're technically not supposed to do that, even though like everybody does that.
Yeah, definitely right? Not supposed
number
to
one.
Do that.
So there's like strike number one. And people have been going to just clarifying this, people have been going to HR over this person because he's been inappropriate, but not because of the relationship yet.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And then the second thing that I'm like, well, what would you like? What do corporate people do in this situation? If the letter writer were to go to the young woman and be like, hey, can I talk to you about this? How it's making me, you know, like, how is it making like having that friend conversation with her? Like, you can't really do that on work time, or can you? I don't know. Like, Well, like, can you go to a boss and be like, I'm uncomfortable with how you are sleeping with this person? Well, no, that's not what we're saying.
Yeah.
Not. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I just recognize that there's a world
I
of.
I don't think it would go well, but yeah.
Yeah. There's a world of like hesitancies here that make a lot of sense, you know, especially since I don't know if you would consider, you know, I don't know if you consider this person like a capital F friend. Or a friendly coworker, you know what I mean?
For sure.
Regardless, all of your triggers are really real. And honestly, your concerns are real too. This isn't going to end in a nice, neat way, you know?
No, probably not. Nope.
No. I agree with Sam. Like, how can you foster conversations with this person? Or is there, this is one of the moments in the podcast where I just straight up ask questions and don't give any advice. Is there a way, I'm wondering, I'm asking the JBU community and you, is there a way to say, to this person, you know, I'm concerned about this relationship. Can we talk about it in a way that is still within the bounds of professionalism and like that would be stamped as A-okay with the HR department? No, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you could, as like a, you could definitely talk to your person and be like, yeah, and be like, this relationship is concerning to me for a bunch of different reasons.
To the friend, I mean, not to the HR department. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you could definitely say to her, like, I think it's really inappropriate that like you two have a sexual relationship, given the fact that you are his boss. And like, given the fact that he's like had HR complaints filed against him, like this makes me uncomfortable. You could absolutely do that.
I'm thinking more like on the personal aspect of like, hey, homie, like, are you okay? This feels a little off to me. Like, can you have that level of a personal conversation with somebody who might be like your superior at work?
Yeah, you were my superior at work.
Yeah, I don't. Well, that was. So, we were both in our early 20s, okay?
No, I mean, I think like, it sounds to me like you're writing in as if you are friends with this person.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, right, yeah,
like you and Katie are friends. You care about her as a person.
I'm overthinking the HR thing,
like,
I think, because I'm not super confident in that world.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think that this is like, I think Sierra's right that you should talk about your experiences. I think you should ask her about how she's doing. I think you should be curious, like all of the things that we've talked about, because I do think that like, this is concerning in a lot of ways. Like, I think Sierra and I share your concerns that this man sounds like a really creep, and it sounds like he's like, he's exploiting her age, her pain,
you know,
all
of
the things
bitch
that she's been through. Yeah.
I remember a friend coming to me. My dog had just passed away. I had just gotten out of like a really shitty toxic situationship. I was having like a very hot mess emotional summer. And that's when my ex-boyfriend came into my life again. The one that, you know, ended
the
up
terrible one.
You know, yeah. You know, we don't have to talk about it. Everybody knows. Great. Mm-hmm. and a friend of ours who like knew the history of this person and knew everything going on in my life was like, hey, I feel like so and so is probably like taking advantage of the vulnerable state that you're in right now. And I was like, no way. Like, this feels organic, whatever. Looking back, like, absolutely that was true. Like, how many of us can acknowledge that we are in a vulnerable state that makes us make decisions that might not be in alignment with?
Exactly.
It's so hard to admit that in the moment. You know what I mean?
And I think that that's like, that speaks to the trickiness of this situation, because, you know, in that situation, I've also had situations where people have told me that they don't like the person I'm dating, right?
Yes,
for like,
totally.
For lots of really justified reasons that were absolutely true at the time, but that I did not want to see or hear or talk about, right? Because I was in a different framework or like I was looking at the world through different lenses than they were. And like, would it have spared me strife if I had listened to those people? Like, yeah, absolutely. And also I was incapable of doing it. Like I couldn't hear the words that they were saying. Similar with you and this, the ex, right? Like, and so that's why these situations are so tricky, because it's like, you're just speaking entirely different languages to each other. And like, I'm with you. I think this man's a creep, and I think he should have been fired before this for all the weird shit he did.
100%.
Let's just say that outright. Like, who is the boss? Cause I want to talk to them and be like, just fire this person. You are at an at-will state. I'm 100% sure. Just fire them. You don't need cause. Like, he's a creep. Right. Like, and so I think that there's like, it's hard to be in these situations in so many different ways, because we can't speak truth to people who are not able to hear it. Right. And so then the question is like, if I can't convince this person, if I've said my piece and I've said like, this is making me uncomfortable, it seems like this person is exploiting you. And the way that that person said that to Sierra, right? Like, it seems like he's taking advantage of you, right? Like, then the thing is like, okay, I don't have control over how people take what I'm telling them. The only thing I have control over is like, how do I show up in this relationship? What sort of questions am I asking? Where are my edges and boundaries around like how I'm going to hold space for all of this in my life, right? And sometimes we have to make mistakes in order to learn from them. You know, like, I had to date a shitty person so that I could learn how to not date shitty people, right? Like, it was a thing I had to experience. And I don't want to say that, like, yes, whatever, she deserves to be in this creepy relationship or needs to be in it to grow. And I also want to say, like, people got to live their lives, right? Like, people have to make mistakes and learn from them. And we can't just, like, try and build a bubble around people and make their decisions for them. To a certain extent, we have to be there and be kind to them and support them and love them through what is inevitably going to be a bunch of mistakes in their life, because we are all making mistakes all the time, some bigger than others, right? Like, we are all doing things that are dumb 100% of the time. Like, that's just the reality of it. So how do you want to hold this friend that you have in recognizing her own autonomy to make mistakes that you wouldn't want her to make and that you wish that you hadn't made, while also being a supportive person to say, I know you're going to make mistakes and I'm still going to be here for you, even as those mistakes happen, right? Like, I'm going to be here with you to help pick up the pieces when I know that this goes wrong, right? I'm going to love you and support you and say, I know that you've made a mistake here. And also, that doesn't make you a bad person. That doesn't mean you're doomed to be unloved. That doesn't mean that this is going to be the rest of your life, right? Like, I think that is what we all need to hold for each other, rather than sort of sitting on the sidelines and telling everyone, like, you should just be doing this. Like, you should clearly see this, because they don't and they can't. And,
yes.
And that sucks. And that's also the reality of it.
Yes. I'm thinking now about, like, your very real question about how to handle the triggers. I think it's just, it's going to be an ongoing process of, you know, recognizing that the discomfort is real and it's coming from a real place in your history. And just the fact that this guy sounds like a creep, like, whatever, but it's gonna take some ongoing labor, I think, in terms of, like, ongoing emotional labor as you process this friend, as you process her life, and as you look back on your own choices. I mentioned, like, people, you know, that I consider myself a mentor to be, and I have had to, over the course of our friendship and relationship over the last, you know, how old am I? Like, 15 years. I have had to start the ongoing and lifelong process of divorcing myself from their decisions and recognizing that my path is not their path and their path is not mine, and that I can give them advice when they ask for it. I can give them my perspective when it's needed. I can speak passionately about the lessons that I have learned in my own timeline and in my own way and in my own body with my partners and my unique experiences. But ultimately, they are wholly unique from me, despite the very apparent parallels, like in your situation. And that is not to say, like, both Sam and I agree, this is going to end poorly. This person is being taken advantage of. This is creepy. It doesn't make us feel good, right? And truthfully, like, if you hear this episode and you sit on it, I just want to explicitly say to you and to all the listeners, like, I have no problem with you going to HR over this. If it sits in your body and you say, like, this makes me so uncomfortable and I feel like there's that this is the right path, then do it. Like, I'm sure there will be some conflict that arise from that. And also, I think that there are times in my life in which I caused more ruckus over things that I saw were blatantly wrong. So please know that I'm okay with that. That being said, you know, as you move through this relationship with this person, you're going to have to work on separating yourself from their choices. There are times that I can say that I straight up knew better, quote, I knew better. I know better than this situation. I know better than this person, right? But you don't. You know yours. You know your life, right? It's not better than their choices, right? I say that it's been an ongoing process because it really, over the last 15 years, my relationship to being a mentor, to just being a to being an elder in somebody's life, and I use that word loosely, you know, recognizing that I can't prevent them from suffering and I can't control their behavior. But more importantly than any of that is their life is not set in stone to mirror my own. And that, you know, I've thought about this even with my daughter, and as I'm sure you think about it with your child, like you can do everything you can in your whole body, your whole ability, your whole lived experience to help your child be set up for success and set up for healthy relationships and set up for a really confident sense of self and a reservoir of self-love. You know, I can tell my child 1,000 times a day that they are so loved. And it still does not guarantee that my child won't grow up with self-love issues or with, you know, depression or get into an unhealthy relationship. It's like what Sam said about just trying to be that safe and curious, supportive person on the sidelines that they know that they can turn to no matter what choices they've made.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's important to remember that her experience might be similar to yours, but it's not exactly the same, right?
Yeah.
And so I think as you're experiencing these triggers around like the stuff that's happened in your life, like I understand, and that's 100% justified that you're sort of seeing yourself reflected back in her. And right, like those things that happen to you aren't necessarily going to happen to her just because at this moment she's dating a creepy man who's older than her, right? Like there's not a set path that you have walked down that she is following you down, right? Like she's on her own path that might involve really different things than what your path did. So take care of yourself in those moments, right? Like you're totally justified in having these memories come back to you because you're seeing something so similar and it's not the exact same, right? Like it is similar. It has reverberations of the same thing, but it is not exactly the same, right? You're not seeing a horrible thing play out in real time just because it kind of looks like horrible things that have happened to you.
Yes. Yeah. All right, my darling. I know this is all very tricky and emotionally fraught and tangled in HR policies, but, you know, listen to your intuition, and also trust that, people will make, you know, you could map out the perfect decisions for this person's life and they're still going to make their own. Know that we're thinking about you and that we hope this gets easier. And we love you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for writing. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like more content from us, or if you would like access to our monthly office hours, you can always support us on Patreon. If you support us on Patreon for as little as $5 a month, you'll get an additional bonus weekly episode. That's patreon.com/justbreakuppod.
You can slide into our DMs, send us your favorite relationship memes, but most importantly, you can submit your questions about all matters of the heart at justbreakuppod.com, which is also where you can find our merchandise.
Please remember to like, follow, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating and review. This literally keeps our mics on and helps us reach more brokenhearted souls who need 2 random strangers giving them relationship advice.
Just Break Up is a production of Duveed Media, original music, recording, editing, producing, all magical things by our good friend Spencer Worth Davis. Make sure to check out his podcast and his music. And remember, sometimes the helpful thing to do is to be curious and to be present. Sometimes the helpful thing to do is to go to an HR representative and tell them that your coworker is being a creepy asshole.
That's real. That's really real.
And unfortunately, life is about towing the line between those two things. And if all else fails,
just break up.